Sometimes we can get so caught up in doing for the Lord that we forget the Lord. The Lord who's always in our presence. He's desirous of our fellowship, yet we almost ignore Him. And I realize that service and devotion are often one and the same, and they should be, but we can at times get so absorbed in the one, service, that we neglect the other, the Lord Jesus Himself. And that ends up souring our service. So let's start here with verse 38. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at her Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Note the words, first of all, that had to be made. And Dan's reading was actually more accurate because the NIV includes that had to be made, but those are not in the Greek text originally. If we might consider what might have been impossible preparations that Martha was taking care of in the process, I would say they likely included some last-minute cleaning, things that had to be done before Jesus arrived and His group. She also could have been preparing a place for Jesus to sleep if He were planning to stay there for the night, which I think He often did in His comings and goings once He got near to Jerusalem. From other passages, we know that Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus were among Jesus' closest friends. Most likely, she was at least preparing a meal for the group. So let's quietly take an imaginary step inside the back door of Martha's kitchen, if you will, for a moment, and observe possibly what's developing. And one warning, stay away from the milk. It's about to sour. Shh. There she is. She's over there by the table. The one wearing the apron. And man, look at her work. I told you this is a lady who knows how to run a kitchen. How does she do that? Stirring with one hand and cracking eggs with the other and nothing spills? She knows what she's doing. There's lots of food. Must be a big crowd. That's them laughing in the next room. Sounds like they're having a lot of fun. But Martha isn't. One look at her flour covered scowl will tell you that. Stupid sister. What? Did you hear her mumble something? That Mary. Here I am slaving away in the kitchen all by myself while she's out there sitting and enjoying the company. Sounds like there's something more hot here in the kitchen than just the oven. I wouldn't have invited Jesus over if I knew He'd going to bring the whole crew. Those guys eat like horses. Matt Peter's always belching. So, wow, she's miffed. Look at her glaring over her shoulder through the doorway. That's Mary she's staring at, the one seated on the floor, listening to Jesus. Sweet little sister, always ready to listen and never ready to work. I wouldn't mind sitting down myself. But all I do is cook and clean, cook and clean. Well, enough is enough. Watch out, there she goes, and somebody's going to get it. So the end of verse 40. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Suddenly the room goes silent. Deathly silent, I think, except for the tap, tap, tapping of Martha's foot on the floor and the slapping maybe of a wooden spoon in her palm. She looms over the others, flour on her cheeks and fire in her eyes. Let's pause for a minute and ask, what may have been the reasons for her being distracted by all her preparations? No doubt she wanted to do her best in her hospitality. Nothing wrong with that. So she may was nervous, perhaps seeking the Lord's approval. Many women, hear this, ladies and men, get their self-worth as it's tied into the approval of the performance of their tasks. She seemed to be overdoing it, though. Going beyond what was really necessary, perhaps in an obsessive compulsive personality, driven to get everything perfect. Though it doesn't seem, at the same time, she has a very loving servant's heart. Otherwise, she'd be gladly doing all of this for the Lord. She was disturbed that Mary wasn't helping her, verse 40, so that the work became a burden to her. And in many ways, as I've said, we as Christians, in the same manner, can easily be distracted by our preparations. We allow our prayer life and devotional life to fall by the wayside in the busyness of life. And that's a great danger for all of Christ's followers that we can commonly slip into, especially many mothers. Striving for excellence, for a grade in school, could be the focal point for a student, or for excellence on the job in order to gain a promotion or maybe a raise in your salary as an employee. We worry about all the little daily tasks that we have, the responsibilities that we feel we have to get done before the day is over, and neglect the other more important things in our lives, like spending time with our family or time with other people to encourage them or minister to them. Sometimes we look for someone to blame, and we start criticizing other people. We feel we've been left out. We focus on the negative. Instead of seeing the good on what the Lord can teach us, maybe through a difficult situation even. Even serving the Lord can become a drudgery, then, if we focus on the task and not on the Lord and the people that we're serving. And then, of course, all that comes to affect the attitude. It certainly did Martha's attitude when she finally did approach Christ. She came to Jesus in a negative way, presumptuous, and thinking the Lord didn't care for her, as if to say, "What's wrong with you, Lord? Don't you see my problem?" Her presumptuous attitude is seen in the last part of verse 40, where she's actually making a demand of the Lord there, "Tell her to help me." The verb is in the imperative. So she was instructing Jesus. Her attitude is in contrast to a motherly humility and submission, and in contrast to Mary's teachable attitude shown by her desire to listen to Christ's words. So, do you ever see yourself approaching the Lord with a similar attitude? Sometimes I come to the Lord with my demands, and they might be carefully disguised as requests, or without stopping to acknowledge the one whom I'm approaching. Moms, when your husband is disappointing to you, do you ever question the Lord's goodness in the sense of thinking, "Lord, why can't you make him different so he's more pleasing to me?" And husbands, vice versa, you could be thinking the same thing. Sometimes I get irritated at the house over things, or my kids, when I feel like they're not taking care of things as they should. There are also times that I doubt the Lord's care for me as well. Don't like it when things don't go well at the church. It's not growing. People leave. I feel like I'm doing this all by myself. Nobody seems to even see what needs to be done. Or if they do, they're not willing to step forward and meet the need. But I think the greatest problem is not how I approach the Lord, but when I show by my life and my neglect to go to him that I get the wrong attitude and perspective. Haven't had those kind of feelings in a good while, and that's a good thing. But they've been there in the past. I have to chuckle at the expression here that must have been on the faces of the disciples. Staring wide-eyed in this unleashed fury and surprise at Martha's boldness. That's something they're used to seeing Peter do, not Martha. Maybe they began to feel a little guilty themselves, and as they're sitting there, they question, "Well, why haven't we gotten up and helped her?" And poor Mary, by now she's flushed red with embarrassment, and she sighs, and she sinks a little bit lower to the floor. And they're all no doubt very tuned in to hear Jesus' response after Mary spoke out. And Jesus is the only one who says anything, because he's the only one who really understood the problem. And the problem was not the large crowd. So many people to serve and so few to help. If a dinner, think about it, was the priority at the moment, I'm sure the one who had earlier fed 5,000 in a remote place outdoors could certainly handle a few people out in the living room inside. The problem was not Mary's choice to sit and listen. Yet the problem was not necessarily Martha's choice to be a good hostess either. The problem was Martha's heart. That's number two. Number two is the danger of focusing on our duties more than our Lord is that our attitudes turn sour as our hearts become anxious. This has been played out over and over again. We see it in verse 41 in the Lord's response. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. So what was the Lord's approach? Stop there. What was his approach back to Martha? Well, he dealt with her personality, calling her by her first name, close in an intimate way, personally, her name. He dealt with her gently, showing that he could sympathize with her concerns and he understood her. You're worried and bothered by so many things. Christ had her best interest at heart, so he capitalizes on this teachable moment to help her refocus her priorities. Perhaps by the words in the next verse, one thing, only one thing really is needed here. Show that he encouraged her to lighten her load a bit. Maybe some of her chores and activities and her compulsive commitments. She didn't need to be doing all that she was doing. And that ended up souring her attitude. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and upset about many things. Bless her heart. She wanted to do what was right, but her heart was wrong. Her heart, Jesus said, was worried and upset. And so as a result, she turned from a happy servant to more of a beast of burden. She was worried about cooking, about the guests, about pleasing everybody, about too much. I like what Irma Bombeck said one time. She used to write a column, I think, in the Dayton paper, very, very good with humor. But she said, I've always worried a lot, and frankly, I'm good at it. I worry about introducing people and going blank when I get to my mother. I worry about a shortage of ball bearings, a snake coming up through the kitchen drain. I worry about the world ending at midnight. And I worry about getting stuck with 3 hours on a 24-hour cold capsule. I worry about getting into the Guinness Book of World Records under pregnancy, oldest recorded birth. I worry what the dog thinks when he sees me coming out of the shower. That one of my children will marry an Eskimo who will set me adrift on an iceberg when I can no longer feed myself. I worry about sales ladies who will follow me into the fitting room, oil slicks, and Carol Channing going bald. Look her up. She was an actress and comedian. Finally, she says, I worry about scientists discovering someday that lettuce has been fattening all along. So you see what she's getting at. At some point, worry does get to be ridiculous, especially with a sovereign God. Apparently, Martha was anxious about too much, and so she started bossing God around. Worry will do that to you because it makes us forget who's in charge. What makes Martha's case interesting, though, is that she's worried about something good. She's having Jesus over for dinner. She's literally serving God. She wants to please Jesus, but she's made a common and yet very dangerous mistake. As she began to serve, her work became more important to her than her Lord. So what began as a way to serve Jesus slowly became, I think, a way to serve self. Maybe the process went something like this. as she began to prepare the meal, she's already got the house ready in a quick maybe hour or two. And she's anticipating some compliments on the food. As she set the table, she imagined approval. She could picture it. They might cite her as an example of hospitality, and Jesus might dedicate a verse in the Bible to her. Jesus would then tell the disciples to give her some appreciation, maybe even an ovation. Then women would come from miles around and asking her how she learned to be such a kind and humble servant. And the rest of her days would be spent directing the school of servanthood in Israel, and Jesus would be the founder, and Martha would be the distinguished professor. But things didn't turn out the way she planned. She didn't get the attention she sought. There was no standing ovation, no compliments, apparently no adulation at all. No one helped, and no one even noticed. And that irritated her. Martha's long on anxiety and short on memory. Maybe she'd forgotten that those preparations were her idea. She'd forgotten that Mary had every right to be with Jesus. She did get a story feature in our Bibles, though. But most of all, she'd forgotten that this meal was to honor Jesus, not Martha. Now, again, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. We don't know for sure. But moms, or any of us, can you relate at all to any of that? I mean, if you can, I certainly can, again. I know exactly how Martha feels. I've been in her kitchen. Or more accurately, I've been in Pastor Greg's study before. I know what it's like to set out to serve God and end up trying to serve myself. I've labored long and hard over sermons or lessons, only to be let down because it seems like there's no response. And nobody seems to care enough about IBC to help me labor. I push myself deep into a manuscript only to catch myself daydreaming about how it's going to be appreciated or not. I preached to you and taught you from the Bible about the sufferings of Christ and then gotten immediately frustrated with some tiny inconvenience on my way home from church. I never want to be that way. But it's easy for all of us to get there if we forget who's the servant and who's the one being served. And you know what's more? Satan knows that. So this tool of distortion, I think, is one of his slyest. Did you notice that he didn't take Martha out of the kitchen, her realm, her domain? He took her purpose away in the kitchen. So if the adversary can't turn you away from the church, he'll try to turn you toward yourself in the church. He'll take you away from your ministry, maybe, or disillusioned about it and frustrated with it in your service. And when the focus is on yourself, then you do what Martha did. You worry and get upset at people and maybe even the Lord himself. You worry that your coworkers won't appreciate you, or that your supervisor has been overlooking you, or maybe even the owner of the company himself and your employer hardly even knows you exist. But you're doing a good job. Moms, you get upset that your family, and your husband in particular, don't understand you, and they won't support you. So with time, your agenda becomes more important than God's. And you're more concerned with your presentation of self than you are about pleasing him. And you may even end up finding yourself doubting his love. Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me alone to do all the work? Tell her to help me. We can be certain that Martha, I think, regretted saying that. I bet she looked after that was all over and thought it through, and she had cooled down, she would love to have those words back. I imagine she wished she'd heeded Solomon's instruction that he gives to us over Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So there's a principle here to keep an attitude from souring, treat it like you would a cup of milk. Keep it chilled. So Martha's life was cluttered. She needed a break. Martha, Martha, mother, mother, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen it. What is it, moms? Go to number three. We must maintain the first priority of loving and learning from Jesus. That's it, ladies. Do that, and you'll be the best mom that there is. Love and learn from Jesus. Verse 42. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I had a mom like that. She's the best. But what had Mary chosen? That's the question. According to verse 39, she chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus. In fact, Mary of Bethany is seen three times total in the gospel record. And on each occasion, she's situated in the same place, at the feet of Jesus. So here she sat at his feet, and she listened to his word. In John 11, 32, she fell at his feet in trying to gain some sorrow at Lazarus' death. And in John 12, 3, she knelt and bowed at his feet to pour out her worship by offering himself expensive perfume and wiping it with her own hair before he went to the cross. So Martha and Mary are often contrasted so that each believer must make a choice, be first and foremost, a worshiper, like Mary, before, not rather than, a worker like Martha. And certainly, all of our personalities, all the ones in this room, are different, but that doesn't mean that the Christian life is an either-or situation. Jesus not having us to choose worship to the neglect of service. He has a whole lot to say about the value of service as well. Can't neglect that either. But here Jesus seems to be saying that loving him is the first priority and then the foundation for serving him. In other words, God is more pleased with quiet attention by a sincere servant than he is the noisy service of a sour one. So Luke appears to be bringing his argument forward. It's actually in this entire portion of his gospel. These verses follow the story of what? The Good Samaritan. Before that, a lawyer posed the question to Jesus about how to inherit eternal life. So if you move back to verses 26 and 27 or 28 for a moment, verse 26 says, what is written in the law? After this teacher or this expert on the law comes and asks him this question, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. So from Jesus' reply, we might derive the principle that devotion to the Lord is what gains his approval. In a general sense. Verse 27 was a reference right out of the Old Testament law. To love the Lord was the central core of it all, the essence of the law. All the specifics of the law were manifestations of what's in a person's heart, first and foremost. So much then of the second half of Luke's chapter 10 here hinges then on verse 27. You have the parable of the good servant, or the good Samaritan, 30 to 37, which applies love your neighbor as yourself. And then you have this story of Martha and Mary in 38 to 42 that applies love the Lord with all your heart. So we acknowledge Jesus is not saying that this is how we work our way to heaven. We don't serve our way to get there. All of our service is flawed and sinned. But we know that Jesus Christ did the work for us. We know that we get to heaven by placing our faith and trust in him and him alone. We don't earn our way there. He's done all the work in our salvation, and we simply trust him. Moms, you'll never get to heaven by working hard, by doing your best for your family. We always fall short. We have to trust Jesus, and that is it, for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then as Christians, we come to this story of Martha and Mary, knowing that our love and our wholehearted devotion to God must take precedence over the specific things that we do outwardly. The heart is first. And in the context immediately following this incident, Jesus pictured one way of devotion to the Lord by what Luke recorded in chapter 11, verse 1. So look ahead just to verse 1 in chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. There you go. I think Luke would have us see that Jesus himself demonstrated what a person who loves the Lord with all his heart and who gives the Lord first priority in their lives would do. Namely, pray. Start off with. So, moms, when was the last time you had a quality, private devotional time in Scripture and prayer? If it's been a while, too long, then it could be that whatever is lacking in your home right now is a direct result of your lack of personal devotion to Christ. This is especially appropriate with the timing and all of it because I know it's the time of year and we have a good number of our moms preparing for many guests at graduation parties or possibly wedding showers, wedding ceremonies, maybe even summer family reunions. Martha's problem was that she received Jesus into her home and then neglected him as she made elaborate preparations that he really didn't need. Few things are as damaging to the Christian life than trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. John 15:5. And then whenever we criticize others and we pity ourselves because we feel we're overworked, underappreciated, and what we're doing is the only thing that's being done for God around us, we better take time to examine our hearts and lives. Perhaps in all our busyness, we've been ignoring the Lord. Martha's main problem wasn't that she had too much work to do, but that she'd allowed her work to become an end in itself, a distraction that actually pulled her away from her Savior. She's trying to serve two masters, as Jesus had warned. He'd already said, that just simply won't work. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service and our heart. The key is to have the right priorities, with loving Jesus coming first. It's vitally important we spend time at the feet of Jesus on a daily basis, letting him share his word with us. That's the most important thing that I can do as your pastor. And it's more important for you than you singing in the choir, serving a church dinner, or in the nursery, or teaching a Sunday school class, or in children's church, or helping with teens in Awana, or going on a mission trip to Alaska. Unless we meet Christ personally and privately on a regular basis, we'll soon end up like Martha, busy but not blessed. Warren Wisby said that often in his pastoral ministry, he would ask people who were having serious problems this question: tell me about your devotional life. He says the usual response would be an embarrassed look, a bowed head, a quiet confession. Well, I stopped reading my Bible and praying a long time ago. And they wonder why they're having problems. Yes, we need to get back to the basics of life. The heart that's pure. Well, I don't want to be too hard on Martha before we leave her. I want you to see something that's really pretty cool here. According to John 12, 1 and 2, the group is back at her house. Okay, a later occasion, and Martha must have learned her lesson because, again, she's preparing another feast for Jesus, I assume, the 12, her brother and her sister. So that's 15 people at least total. But apparently she did not utter one word of complaint. Plus we see no hint from Jesus. It's already on the screen here. 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. That's it. She's still serving. But apparently, since nothing is noted about it without the worry or the grudge. So what matters more than the type of service is the heart behind the service A bad attitude spoils and sours the gift that we try to leave at the altar of God. If it's not devotion before duty, then it'll be likely service that sours. Maybe you've heard the joke about the guy who prayed with a bad attitude. He said, "Why has my brother been blessed with all this wealth and I with nothing? All my life I've never missed a single assignment of service for Christ. My church attendance has been perfect. I've helped my neighbors. I've given my money. Yet now, as I near the end of my life, I can hardly afford to pay my rent. My brother, on the other hand, drinks and gambles and plays around all the time. Yet he has more money than he can count. I don't ask you to punish him, but tell me, why has he been given so much and I've been given nothing?" Because God said, "You're such a righteous, a self-righteous pain in the neck." And I don't know if the Lord would even say that. I do know, though, that our sin and our bad attitudes provoke his anger and they grieve his spirit. And Jesus, I would say this, certainly did come down hard as anybody on those who had a self-righteous attitude about themselves. Guard your attitude. It will help if you love and learn from Jesus first. Moms, I know we have many in this room. God has gifted you with many talents to serve him by. He's done the same with others. But if you concern yourself first and foremost with all of that and end up pouring yourself into your duties, you could end up neglecting the one who gave them. But if you concern yourself with him first, then moms, you can be an inspiration to all of us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this little episode in the Bible that packs such a punch. It hits us all.